Michael Bloomberg is little brother.
The aspiring big brother?
He's not big brother.
He's big brother.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. Yes. I mean, because it is. It is ubiquitous. And you know, again, but those ads are everywhere, but you only hear, I'm Michael Bloomberg, I pay this message, right? Everything else is, it's a surrogate.
Yeah.
Just as his gun control groups have been his surrogates. And we saw that during the South Carolina debate where he accidentally admitted the truth about, you know, having bought
yes, you know.
The election. Well, not only did he buy the House of Representatives for Nancy Pelosi, but he talked about his organizations, the, you know, Moms Demand Action and Everytown for Gun Safety. You know, in my job, I have sources on both sides of this issue. There were some ticked off moms after that debate, Jim. Oh, they were furious. And they're starting to speak up more publicly. I mean, I've written about this. You've got the March for Our Lives kids who are largely supporting Bernie Sanders. Cameron Caskey trolls Mike Bloomberg harder than I do on Twitter. But you do have a growing number of Moms Demand Action supporters who are backing Elizabeth Warren or Pete Buttigieg or Joe Biden. This should have been his natural base to draw from. And man, so what does that tell you Bloomberg?
Yeah.
Not the candidate, but Bloomberg the guy.
Yeah. When he showed, you know, so I just, for National Review, wrote this piece about 20 things you probably didn't know about Mike Bloomberg.
Is this where we get to talk about?
We can in a second. But let me just say, I jumped on the grenade of reading Bloomberg by Bloomberg, which was his autobiography that came out in the late 90s before he ran for mayor.
Okay.
Then I read The Many Lives of Michael Bloomberg, which is a biography that came out a couple years ago. Then I went through the entire lawsuit that was filed against him for sexual harassment, for all that other stuff. And I'll talk about that in a second. But one of the things that comes very clear as you do all this research, Mike Bloomberg does not, he does not build coalitions. He buys coalitions. Mm-hmm. He, you know, and by the way, he's got enormous charitable, you know, he has enormous ability. And at the first thing, a lot of people in New York are like, hey, we like that. This guy doesn't owe anything to anybody. This is a guy who, you know, nobody's going to tell him what to do. And they suddenly realized he got into office, he didn't owe anything to anyone. And he could kind of do whatever he wanted. And all the people who would usually stand up and say, Mr. Bloomberg, you know, Mayor Bloomberg, you shouldn't do that. Well, they'd already contributed a lot to his charitable foundation, you know, and he'd given him this donation, and the city had given him this grant. And all of a sudden, everybody in the power structure of New York City was sort of bought off. Maybe not completely, but they confronting Bloomberg required a certain amount of, well, we're going to never get that donation from him ever again. And a lot of groups that ordinarily might have objected to stop and frisk and all these other controversial were a little muted, were not as full-throated as they ordinarily would have been. Traditionally, the mayor of New York City, you had to build this coalition, you had all these balancing competing interests, all these different neighborhoods, factions, and it was always a balancing act. It was very complicated politics. With Bloomberg, you just write a check. And that worked for a really long time. The problem is, at some point, you can't. And by the way, I think at some point, people began to realize, oh, we don't really have any way to keep this guy accountable, particularly when he's spending $200 per vote in all of his re-elections, and he can get the city council to extend, you know, throw out term limits and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we've been foreshadowing this.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, again, there's all kinds of reasons to object to Michael Bloomberg. One of the things that Elizabeth Warren famously brought up in the first debate that he was on stage were the comments that he had made towards women. But in your piece at National Review, you note that it's not just women who might have a problem with what Michael Bloomberg has said in the past.
I'm going to put it in a situation where I hope they don't have to edit this too much. Yeah. Listeners, viewers, this is going to get a little bit explicit. My aim is not to offend you. This is the first time I've ever had to say to an editor, am I allowed to use the word blowjob at National Review? Because I'm quoting Michael Bloomberg. All right, so this all comes from a lawsuit filed in the mid-90s by Sakiko Sakai Garrison. She had worked for Bloomberg for 6 years as a saleswoman. Bloomberg, the company at that time, was selling Bloomberg terminals. They were giving you financial information, updates on the markets, all that kind of stuff. All right? I read through the entire lawsuit. It is ugly stuff. It is everything the Me Too movement wanted to stand up against. And there's some of the stuff you could say, that was the mood on Wall Street in the 80s and 90s. It was a different time. There's a lot of people who have said, there was a lot of that stuff going on. This stuff is really, really bad. Just consistent sex toys left on the door, on their desks and stuff like that. The sort of stuff that like just would not fly in any workplace today. And I have a hard time believing women voters, when they hear that, are going to be like, it's no big deal. I just have a feeling too many women have had too many bosses who are utter creeps to just, you know.
Yeah.
But the two things that jumped out at me that I had not seen reported in a lot of places. So Garrison lawsuit, I'm reading from, this is National Review, you can read up the whole 20 pieces. Garrison's lawsuit also described Bloomberg's reaction to an employee who was having a hard time finding a nanny. He yelled loudly at her in the presence of a large group of employees, "It's an F-wording baby. All it does is eat and S-word," and I assume people at home know what those words are. "It doesn't know the difference between you and anyone else. All you need is some," again, I apologize, listeners in advance, "all you need is some black who doesn't even have to speak English to rescue it from a burning building." As somebody said, Bloomberg is paternalism without any fatherly instincts. Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's pretty bad. You look at that and you're just
I bet that'll play well with the mom's man action.
You look at that and you're like, oh, that's bad. The next one that comes up, because again, particularly as we move to Texas and other states like that, in the lawsuit, Garrison described Bloomberg's reaction to a complaint from clients in Mexico that they were not getting good service due to poor telephone connections. "I don't give an S word about those Mexican jumping beans. They're all hung up about the Alamo anyway." That sound you hear in the background is the head of Latinos for Bloomberg, either resigning, fleeing in terror, or just updating their resume because they don't even want to try to have to defend this. There are many reasons to object to these two statements, among many, but the whole lawsuit is full of comments like this from Bloomberg. First of all, this puts the Democratic Party in a really awkward position. If they nominate Mike Bloomberg to say, hey, Donald Trump's behavior and language and treatment of people is unacceptable. All these comments in here, all the horror stories you've heard about Donald Trump, this sounds like the same thing. And, you know, Elizabeth Warren says, we can't say we want our narcissistic billionaire to beat their narcissistic billionaire, I think she really means it. I'm not a big fan of Elizabeth Warren, but I don't think this is contrived. I think she really looks at this stuff and says, oh my God, at least in the 80s and 90s, this man was a monster to people.
So let me ask you something. Yeah. And this will be the last question, because I know we're starting to get a little bit long here, but... does Bloomberg become so toxic that even his money isn't accepted in the Democrat Party? Or is that, whoa, let's not go crazy here.
The money is still green, Cam.
Right? Taint yours and taint mine, right? That's the Mark Twain tainted money.
The interesting comment yesterday is that somebody said, if Bernie Sanders is the nominee, will you still support him? And somebody on the Bloomberg team said, you know, I'm not so sure we would. I mean, look, things have gotten pretty heated, pretty nasty, you know, and then the Bernie Sanders campaign was like, we don't want your money. We as far as we're concerned, you're a billionaire. And quite literally, Sanders and Bloomberg, for everything else I want to say, I think they genuinely believe that the other man is everything they got into politics to oppose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is just, you know, something that will blow over. I don't think Bloomberg wants to spend a lot of money trying to make Bernie Sanders the next president of the United States.
I would agree with that.
Will he donate to the DNC and the DNC use the money? Maybe.
I would agree with that. I would say that I don't believe that Bloomberg got into politics to oppose socialism. I believe that Bloomberg got into politics to run New York City. But you know, democratic socialism, quote unquote, was not as big a threat 2002 when he was mayor of New York as it is today. I believe that he decided to run for president because he found Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders to be equally unacceptable.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate assessment there, and it'll be interesting if we stay on the path we're on and Sanders gets the nomination. I don't think Bloomberg, you know, he'll probably speak at the convention and make some sort of mealy-mouthed, we've got to defeat Trump, or maybe even, you know, I keep waiting for the moment where if Bloomberg gets the nomination and Warren plays the role of Ted Cruz, vote your conscience. You know, this is kind of... There are Democrats who genuinely disagree with, you know, this approach there. Bloomberg, here's the thing. Bloomberg, if he did not have millions of dollars, nobody would even be considering this guy in a million years.
No.
And so the question is, don't think of it as a presidential campaign. Think of it as a leveraged buyout, America. He's purchasing the Democratic Party, or at least attempting to... he's got to be looking and saying, how much money do I got to give Klobuchar to go away? How much money do I have to give Buttigieg to go away?
Your Uncle Dick $3 million, Amy. Come on.
Yeah.
You know.
The one scenario that makes sense for him is that if they get really close to nominating Bernie Sanders, and you know, a bunch of Democrats look at that and say, whoa, I don't like our odds in this. This is a really tough sell. His best message is, are you sure, Democrats? And then I am your backup plan. I am the non-social... I present a whole bunch of other different risks. But you're going to be well-funded. I can commit $800 million if I need to. I can be your narcissistic billionaire. I can be your narcissistic billionaire with a whole bunch of terrible Me Too issues.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't you just feel the enthusiasm amongst right. Democrats?
Right. Well, we will see what happens next week. Jim Garrity, come on next week, and then we'll go through the aftermath. We'll call through the rubble. Jim Garrity for National Review, joining us here at CPAC 2020 for Baron Arms Scaling Company.